You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
New Hampshire shepherdesses love to listen to issues, etc.
Or what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
New parents love listening to issues, etc. In the middle of the night.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Do no harm. That's the oath we take as doctors. But now, the government wants to force doctors in Kansas to break that oath by passing a constitutional amendment that could put a mother's life at risk. It's a government mandate that could ban all abortions with no exceptions, even rape and incest. It's dangerous, and it ties the hands of doctors in Kansas. On August the 2nd, I'm voting no on the amendment because I took an oath. Do no harm.
That's a TV commercial sponsored by Kansans for Constitutional Freedom, opposing the pro-life Value Them Both amendment in Kansas. Well, yesterday, it was defeated rather soundly, and maybe those ads and the money spent on the campaign against it had something to do with that. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of August. We're going to spend some time with Dr. Michael New talking about the defeat of the Value Them Both Amendment in Kansas. Then we're going to talk about inclusion, diversity, and equity in Holy Scripture with Pastor Mark Bestel. He's authored a paper titled Unity and Uniqueness According to the Holy Scriptures. Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. He's Paige Comstock Cunningham Fellow with Americans United for Life, a columnist for National Review Online, and author of a column for The Federalist titled Pro-Lifers Need Not Despair Over Kansas Abortion Setback, and Here's Why. Dr. New, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
What was the Kansas Value Them Both Amendment?
This is an amendment put on the ballot by Kansas pro-lifers. Back in 2019, the Kansas State Supreme Court issued a ruling which found that a right to an abortion was protected by the state constitution. And Kansas pro-lifers thought that might jeopardize existing pro-life laws. They thought it might also make it more difficult to pass pro-life laws in the future. So they went ahead and put this question on the ballot to really protect your ability to go ahead and pass protective pro-life laws.
You say that there are several factors that affect the defeat of this amendment. How does campaign spending affect a situation like this?
You know, one thing we know from ballot questions and direct democracy is that the amount of money spent plays a big role in who wins and who loses. And in this case, unfortunately, pro-lifers were outspent. We were outspent by over $1 million. So that might not have been the only reason why we lost. But certainly the fact that the other side had more monetary resources than we did certainly didn't help and did play a role in our defeat.
What do we know about the marketing campaigns of the opponents of Value Them Both?
Well, they basically were able to really kind of caricature this amendment, in my opinion. I mean, Value Them Both would have protected existing pro-life laws and made it possible for the state legislature to enact additional protections of preborn children. Our opponents tried very hard to make the case that if Value Them Both is passed, abortion would be banned everywhere in the state. And that was not the case. But this strategy seemed effective because our opponents did, in fact, prevail.
What conditions are most favorable to pro-life propositions?
It's interesting. Pro-lifers have not enjoyed much success with direct democracy, but there are a couple of situations where we have been effective, and I think two conditions must hold. First, the campaign must take place in a conservative state, that if it's a pro-life state, sometimes we can win. The second thing is that what we have to propose is something that's very clear, very incremental, and very popular. So, you know, we've used direct democracy to limit taxpayer funding of abortion in states like West Virginia and Arkansas and Colorado. We've also used direct democracy to pass pro-life parental involvement laws in states like Alaska and Florida and Montana. So, you know, we can win, but again, typically it has to be in a conservative state with an incremental pro-life law.
Were those conditions present in Kansas?
Unfortunately, I would say the first condition was present because Kansas is a conservative state. The second one was not. Again, the main problem we ran into was that it just wasn't really clear in the minds of a lot of voters what exactly the value of the Both Amendment would do. And when things are unclear, it's very easy to distort things. It's very easy to confuse the issue. And that's what our opponents did.
How did the recent announcement of the Dobbs ruling affect the Kansas outcome?
You know, I think it put the debate on terrain that wasn't necessarily favorable to pro-lifers. Keep in mind, this was drafted before the Dobbs decision was handed down. And I think that, you know, the drafters saw this as a strategy to kind of protect existing pro-life laws. After Dobbs, you know, we certainly have a lot more opportunities. You know, we can certainly do a lot more to protect preborn children. But it means in some cases that our opponents are going to be a little more motivated and energized as well. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure we were ready for that.
Is then the value of them both amendment dead?
Well, the value of both amendment was defeated. One thing I would just say is that, you know, Kansas pro-lifers probably need to just proceed incrementally and draft ballot propositions that are very specific. So if, say, the state Supreme Court requires a state Medicaid program to start paying for elective abortions, we can draft a constitutional amendment, put on the ballot, that would just stop that from happening. If we pass gestational age limit that's struck down by the court, you know, we can draft a constitutional amendment that would see to it that amendments upheld. So I think that we need to kind of proceed in a very kind of piecemeal way with incremental laws that are easy to understand and hard to demonize or distort.
Are there any other states that have or are proposing similar amendments?
Abortion will be on the ballot in multiple states this November. In Vermont, there is language to amend the state constitution to explicitly guarantee your right to an abortion. And that's something that we need to push back against. I think the most important legislative or ballot initiative fight is going to take place in Michigan. There, supporters of legal abortion are trying to put language in place that would guarantee your right to an abortion. But it goes beyond that. That Michigan ballot proposal would explicitly legalize abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. It would also allow for non-physicians to do abortions. And it might require taxpayers to fund abortion, elective abortions, through the state Medicaid program. So Michigan's very important, and I think pro-lifers do have a good chance to win there.
Your editor at National Review, Ramesh Panuru, wrote this morning that the defeat of the amendment doesn't signal a backlash against the Dobbs ruling, but only that the amendment was a negative example of what he called a first-mover advantage or too much too soon. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Ramesh, I think that's very astute. I think that Ramesh makes some good points there. I would say that, keep in mind, this was drafted before we knew what the ruling in Dobbs was going to be. Again, I think the drafters of this amendment anticipated something that would be there to kind of protect existing pro-life laws. Obviously, with Dobbs, you know, again, we can do quite a lot more to protect preborn children. And that's a great thing. But we also need to realize that it's also going to motivate and energize our opponents. And again, I'm not sure we were as prepared for that as we could have been.
Why is then post-Roe really the time to redouble our educational service legislative efforts to protect women and the unborn?
Well, we have a lot of exciting opportunities. I mean, this is a setback in Kansas. We can do a lot of good in other states. Guttmacher last week released a report, and they looked at 11 states that have passed protective pro-life laws. In these 11 states, there's 43 facilities that were doing abortions that no longer are. So there's 43 abortion facilities that have stopped doing abortions. That's great news. So we can really do a lot to protect preborn children through legislation. And we also need to step our efforts in terms of pregnancy help. Heartbeat International, they've reported that their hotline has received a 15% increase in call volume, that more than half the pregnancy centers affiliated with Heartbeat International are actually seeing more clients. So we have exciting opportunities that we should take advantage of.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Paige Comstock Cunningham Fellow with Americans United for Life. He's a columnist for National Review Online and author of a column for The Federalist titled Pro-Lifers Need Not Despair Over Kansas Abortion Setback, and Here's Why. You can read it at the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. New, thank you again.
Thanks.
We will be discussing diversity, equity, and inclusion in Holy Scripture with Pastor Mark Bestel right after this break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. To fight through pain, to get a taste of love. You can call it.
what you like. I call it life. I call it life. I prayed for things nobody.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, with War on the Lamb. Come out of her, fearful judgment, merchants moan, worldly sorrow, heavenly joy. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is, lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.